Om Shanti. So if you can't see me, try changing to the left or to the right your chair, because I'm able to see pretty much everyone. There are a few faces which are hidden. And this is so much more lovely to be like this rather than up on the stage. I don't know if any of you have experienced it, but sitting on that stage really creates a distance between me and the family, and I never felt comfortable with that. So this is actually a little better. We thought we would try it. Not sure it would work, but I think it does. May I know how many are 9 to 7 years in Gyan? 9 years to 7 years in Gyan. And 6 years to 4. 6 to 4. And 3 to 1. Okay, it's kind of evenly divided. But I was telling Chris as we were kind of discussing how we should work with today's topic that the ones coming now seem to me second generation Brahmins. Last go fast. They're clever. It's not going to be like giving or having a session with those who are 1 to 9 years in Gyan. That was my sense as she introduced me to the session. There is a topic. The topic is the two powers, power to face and the power to merge. Very, very important powers. And there are so many ways we can come into this topic. But maybe I can also just take this opportunity to check in with you. Is everyone doing all right? Everybody enjoying? You're not too cold? Because this is really the opportunity to, you know, a little bit more personal gathering. Even though we're a large group and it's a large hall, if anybody's got anything on their mind, a question that they've not known who to go to ask, maybe we can take a few minutes on that as well, just by way of taking advantage of this smaller gathering. What do you think? Anything on the mind? Anything in the heart? Take a minute just to think about that. Anyone? Before we start our topic? Okay. Anyway, now you also know me. I'm your sister. If you see me walking down the road, you can stop me if you do have a question that you've not found a source for. I'll be very happy to meet you and share whatever I can. So, to faith. And to merge. What do you think is the most important virtue needed to face. Because the world gives us a definition of this concept, to face things. Don't avoid them. Don't deny them. Don't hide from them. Face it. So what do you think is the most important virtue? Yeah. What did you say? Courage. Courage. Courage is such a big thing. Recently, actually, I saw that there was a Lokik program, a Lokik lecture, and the title was Emotional Courage. First time I've heard that courage isn't necessarily picking up that sword and fighting, but there's something called emotional courage, which gets much closer to the kind of courage God wants from us. Yeah. And there are actually secrets in that word, but we can come back to that later. Yes, anyone else? What virtue? Yes. Humility. Somebody like that. Huh? Patience. Humility and patience. Humility is a very big one also. You know, Baba has told us many, many times, at least in the beginning, he told us this a lot, that a synonym for soul consciousness is humility. Synonym for soul consciousness is humility. And also self-respect. Three words meaning the same thing. Self-respect, soul consciousness, and humility. Yeah. So it's very different from the humility that the world has. What else? Anybody else? Virtue needed. Yes. Say it again. Faith in yourself. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take it one next step. Can everybody think of a situation where they had to use this power to face? You don't have to share it with anybody. You don't have to talk about it. It's really personal, so you can be as honest as you want. Look at that situation, and in your own personal experience, what was the virtue operating there which allowed you to face? I'm assuming you're going to choose a situation where you faced it successfully. Check what was the virtue that was operating which allowed you to be successful. We take a few minutes of silence just to think about it. You might want to turn to someone near you, someone you maybe don't know, and introduce yourself and share. What is it, that virtue which was operating, which enabled you to face? Take a few minutes. Get to know somebody new. Or renew an old acquaintance. You don't have to share your situation unless you want to. But mostly, what's that virtue? Finishing up? So, any more virtues? Yes. Honesty. Honesty. Did you say charity? Clarity. Clarity. Honesty. Can you tell me a little bit more about this honesty? Honest to, or... Okay. So she was saying it's a very motivating energy when you need to experience the truth. Express the truth. Ah. Okay. Yes, so also clarity, and what did you say? detachment. Detachment. So many times we won't face, because of the fear, there's going to be emotional charge in facing sometimes. And so detach can help us deal with that fear. Anyone else, according to your own journey? Self-awareness, yeah. There's a lot of power in that. Because to face, we need power. Okay, I would like to suggest that what's really needed, possibly firstly, before anything, is faith. Someone mentioned it. But faith in the self would be second. Faith in something else, I think, is a foundation for being able to face. Foundation virtue, I'm suggesting, is faith. But faith in what? What would you say? So I'm asking you a lot of questions. Faith in Baba. Somebody had said already faith in the self, which is, of course, so important. It's connected to self-awareness. It's even connected to courage, actually. Self-respect. Faith in Baba, definitely. Faith in drama, definitely. I'm thinking of something else. And actually, your faith in yourself, your faith in Baba, and your faith in drama will increase if you have faith in this one thing. So now you're thinking. Because we're all good students, and we are working on faith in the self, and in drama, and in God. But this is something even more subtle. Faith in I'm a soul, that's a little bit like faith in the self. Faith in being a detached observer, okay. All of these are good answers, but I'm thinking of something else. All of these, that I'm a soul, being a detached observer, they also will increase when you have faith in this one thing. Huh? 84 lives? How about repeating 84 lives. But even this, actually, that's becoming a little bit an example of the thing I'm thinking of. But even that will increase if we have faith in this first thing. Huh? Nothing new, that goes together with the repeating, yeah. Thoughts, energy, to have faith in thoughts. Faith in energy. It's true, it's a very, very big shift to have faith in goodness again. Because we would have had faith in goodness. We were raised to believe in goodness. And yet some of us, maybe most of us, would have suffered so much just for trying to be good that many of us would have lost our faith in goodness, which makes it hard or harder to come back onto the track of being thoroughly good and nothing else. So faith in goodness is also a power, without a doubt, which will help us face. But even this will increase if you have faith in this other thing. Faith in the intellect. Happiness, nice. Faith in happiness. I believe in happiness. It's very nice. Okay, even that will increase. In fact, that one will increase a lot with this. Huh? Faith in your powers, your eight powers, what you have in you. Faith in love. Did I catch that right, sister? Bab Saman, faith in Bab Saman. This is also kind of like faith in the self. I am equal to God. I am equal to God. It's quite a thing. But even that will much, much more increase and become practical if you have faith in this first thing. Should I tell you? You give up? Interesting. Brothers say no, and sisters say yes. Okay, I'll tell you, because there's a lot more to do in this workshop. Personally, I feel that what keeps me going, and I'm in Gyan now 35 years, is my love for magic. And I really do feel in this journey, you need to know that magic exists and have a lot of faith in magic. Because actually, what are the things we have to face? They're very big things. There's no translation? What? It's okay? It's okay now? Okay. Magic. Easy Raja Yoga. Is it really going to be possible to become a Raj Yogi easily without magic? And I'm really talking about magic. I remember one time I was really struggling with something. I can't even remember what it was, but it seemed at the time very big. Like periodically, maybe every 5 to 7 years, whatever ground you've been standing on and using as your foundation for reality and your efforts, it collapses. Every 5 to 7 years, maybe even every 3 years, it collapses. Because you're ready for a whole new framework of reality. And each framework of reality is getting closer and closer to Baba's framework of reality, which is extremely broad, large picture, and so fully based on goodness. So I had hit one of those points where everything had collapsed and I didn't see what was the next step. I just saw nothing I'd been working with was working. So I was in a kind of a crisis. I felt like I was in a crisis, and I went to Dadi, and Dadi said to me, she just listened very patiently, and then she said, "Do you know the meditation room in Pandav Bhavan underneath Om Shanti Bhavan?" She asked this to me. "Do you know it?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Go there and just sit with Baba. There's magic there." She said, many, many BKs have gone there with very big problems, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. And they sit there and everything gets better because there's magic. And that, of course, made me fall in love with Dadi even more because a member of the same club, a believer and a lover of magic. And I did do that, and there was magic. There was magic. So what kind of magic am I talking about? I'm talking about the kind of magic that happens when I really, really understand and experience being combined with God. Right? Because we're not just in a relationship with God. And we're not just connected to God. But we are combined. That means for whatever it is I have to face, I might not be able to do it. I might not have what's needed to do it, like all these virtues you mentioned, self-respect or humility or courage, faith. I might not have any of these, or maybe I had them, but this test is stretching me and I don't have enough. But he does. He has. And this understanding that in the confluence age, the way God is available to me is not like any other time he's been available to me. He's opened his cells, his molecules, and invited me to merge with him. Because this is the power that goes together with facing. We're not really going to be able to face anything deeply, thoroughly, completely, means to the extent that we need to finish the karmic account, without his power. We don't have that power by the end of the cycle. We will have it only to the extent that we get clever and we understand how to take from him, draw from him, or many times just be silent and let him do. Be silent and let him do. Because this is also magic. When something gets better and I haven't done anything other than just stay quiet. And quiet doesn't mean I don't speak. Quiet means peace. The silence, spiritual silence of peace. It means I stay peaceful, patient, in the energy, in the wavelength of pure feelings, good wishes. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work right there. But if I don't do anything else but that, It's miraculous how Baba, working through that energy, can touch intellects, can change people's mind, change their behavior, make the situation better. And I haven't done anything, haven't said anything, haven't acted anything. This is magic. We must call on Baba's magic more. Sometimes the test will be such that I can't even imagine a solution. I don't know what to do, how to face it, what virtue. Same. I might not know, but my partner knows. The one I'm combined with knows. I just need to not be in his way. With every negative thought, I disrupt his way. He can't perform his magic if I'm jamming the wavelengths with my fears or doubts, insecurities, lack of all these virtues you've mentioned. So ultimately, what is it that we have to face? Because this is also really important to understand. What ultimately, at the end of the day, needs to be faced? Is it going to be some person who's doing something wrong? Is it going to be some situation which is wrong? Is it going to be someone who's not being fair with me or good to me, honest with me? Are these the things I have to face? No. Always and always, ultimate seed of anything needing to be faced is something that has to be changed in me. You believe this, right? It means no confronting as an opportunity to learn. Because, as we know, the law of karma tells us every situation and some anti-virtue needs to be purified and made virtuous again. Each and every challenge is just that opportunity to polish a virtue. Assertiveness. It doesn't always have to be patience or tolerance or humility. But if I've done this work first, then I'm in front of the person or the situation peacefully. And peace is always more productive than conflict. You probably noticed this. So, what am I facing, actually, at each and every challenge, whether it's a person or a situation? I'm actually being required to face my own impurities. My own impurities. And another word for impurity is the falseness in the soul. So, what am I facing? I have to be facing my own falseness. And you know what the biggest falseness is? Which is where it starts all coming together. The biggest falseness is this feeling of disconnect. The loss of the feeling of belonging. The world calls it love, but that's also a very big word. Imagine every single challenge is the opportunity to face in myself wherever it is. I've lost the experience of my connectedness to everyone, our belonging, and love. Biggest falseness, that we are separate and disconnected. Ego. There are so many levels to being able to face my own falsenesses, my own impurities, my own many, many expressions of thinking myself separate. Many, many levels to this realizing that the problem is me. The problem is me. Again, that doesn't mean because I have to be more tolerant or I have to be more patient. It might very well mean that I have to be more forthcoming, more forthright. Speak my mind, courage. But that change in me, the whole world is waiting for, because that particular quality of being forthcoming, having self-respect, living in my self-confidence, these are all aspects of the self-sovereign, the golden age resident. And that has to be created now. And the belonging that Baba's talking about, the connectedness that Baba is pointing us towards, is a belonging and a connectedness which is based on each one coming from a self-respect and a self-confidence. So to come to a challenge with that is not to create separation or feed disconnect, but on the contrary, to keep myself elevated and invite the other into something more elevated too. So, what do we need to face? We need to face our own impurities, falsenesses, disconnect. So how are we going to face it? Bottom line, how are we going to face it? With our purity. We're going to face the impurities with our purity. We're going to face the falseness with the truth. We're going to face the disconnect, the feeling of not belonging, exclusiveness, the feeling of exclusiveness, which is false. Exclusive means this group and then that group. It's false. One family. So we're going to face that with love, God's kind of love, which is an energy, just like peace is an energy, joy is an energy. It's a energy that the soul is made of. But that's a very special energy, this energy of love. As if each one of the qualities is an energy, and each one has a role. So peace, for example, is the energy which roots us in eternity. Joy is the energy which keeps us moving forward. By the end of the cycle, looking for joy keeps us moving. But love is, at least in English, love is the one quality which is a verb as well as a noun. I don't know how it is in other languages, but in English, you don't say, I peace you. Or I joy you. But you do say, I love you. Love. It's the only one of the qualities which jumps the borders of the soul and connects us. Soul to soul to soul to soul. But what's happened, so that's natural. That's the original. That's the true. Originally, naturally, we are completely connected. One family. And of course, or rather I should say, the problem is that something's happened to that connection. Baba says, rust. It's become rusty. It's become damaged. It's become polluted, impurities. And so we're fixing that. We're cleaning off the rust, clearing out the pollution by making the first and most important connection with Him. Drawing love once again from Him. That line is there, but it's equally damaged or polluted. But that source is powerful enough to clean and clear everything. And as I draw it and this gets repaired, then this starts getting repaired too. So that's the way, that's the process for facing God. We've got to get more of that love going. Right? Because it's the biggest falseness that there wouldn't be love between us. The biggest impurity inside me. And to start this work of what's made me unloving? What's made me disconnected? What's made me believe that I could be separate or I am separate? What would happen if God ever thought of himself as disconnected, separate, not belonging? It's a very, very big shift to say every single person and situation and moment which challenges me has as its seed this. Somewhere, somehow, I've gotten weak in my ability to love. And that has to be faced in me. It's the biggest donation. If I can stand there in front of a challenge and provide or donate to the situation or the person the real energies of our connectedness, our belonging, our love. It's a real donation. Greatest charity, actually. And this can't be faked. There is no solution if you're just faking it. Because we all know the mannerisms of love. We know what it looks like to be humble or tolerant or patient or, you know, all these things you were mentioning. But you've got to connect, experience that energy, and then have faith in the magic. And magic can't drop into your intellect something to say. You haven't thought of it, but it drops in there. That's lovely when that happens. Godly magic can just also tell you what to do. You haven't thought of it. It just drops in there. But because you're on that wavelength, you can catch it. So this is kind of how we end up with our Baba telling us all the time in every Murali that the number one Srimad is, consider yourself to be a soul and remember me alone. I remember one thing that Anthony once said. Beautiful point. He's saying if God is not relevant in your life, relevant, interesting word, means right at the very center of your life. Not me at the center of my life, but him at the center of my life. If God is not relevant in your life, then nothing else will be relevant either, including your own self. Relevant, it means meaningful, useful, real. Real. True. If God is not relevant to your life, then not even I will be relevant to my life at this point in time. And he was saying that what will happen is that the same problems will continue to come. It'll be the same problems again and again. Maybe different players, different colors, but basically the same problem again and again. And the mind will be like pulled to focus on the problem again and again. And there'll never be any solution. These are all the signs that God is not relevant in my life. Same problem over and over again, and no solution. Because it's only when God becomes relevant in my life, in other words, I know that there's a challenge and I'm not going to be able to finish it, pay all the debt on my own at the end of the cycle. What do I have? God is relevant means I know I've got to be with Him. It's got to be the partnership. We've got to do this together. And I make myself combined. It's only when I get that light from God that I can see I'm the problem. But then I also have enough light, I have enough energy to do something about it, to change myself. So the real magic starts when I turn to Baba more, 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 and do some of these things you would have heard many times in the Murali. Vedanti Ben said it yesterday too. Use me. I remember the first time I heard Baba say that. It was in, Om Shanti Bhavan. In those days, he was still meeting us in Om Shanti Bhavan. And I was sitting, you know, in those days, you just sat on the floor right next to the stage. You'd be so close to Baba. And I remember one time he said something, and then he paused, and he looked at us, and he said, "Use me. You're not using me." So I have to use him more. Figure out new ways of using him, and more often. But also, rites. This is where the magic starts. How many of us have really realized what it means to have a right on God? Call on him. Make a demand. Do you do this? Has anybody ever done this? Isn't it magic what happens after that? I mean, I'm sure every single one of us has a story of magic. Real magic. I mean, I didn't do anything. Nothing was done, but everything worked out. Rights. I have rights on God. You know, Vedanti Ben has a beautiful story about rights. Is anybody here from Africa? South Africa? This is a story I heard from her decades ago. Apparently she arrived in some, I mean, I hope I get all the details right, but apparently she arrived in one of the states in Africa, and there was very serious drought, no rain. And people didn't really understand what Brahma Kumaris was, but there she was all in white, looking very holy. And so they said, you know, can you make rain? Can you make rain? We need rain. And again, I'm not sure about all the details, but basically, somebody, I think it was, she had an interview on the radio, and the radio interview was being promoted as the lady who would bring rain, or something like that. So she was getting very nervous because the Brahma Kumari's name was being associated with the lady who would bring rain, and what if there was no rain? They would just like cross off Brahma Kumari's. So she told Baba, I think it would be pretty good, you know, if you could like make it rain, you know, just a little bit, satisfy their bhakti desires. So first night came, first night went, no rain. Third day was the interview, something like that. Second day came, and again, you know, big promotions. The lady who brings rain, she's going to be on the radio. So second day, she was again in her mind talking to Baba, you know, Baba. You really do the work if you could get some rain going here. No rain. Second day, no rain. On the third day, morning, no rain. So, again, I'm not sure of the details, but basically, at Amrit, no, the night before, second night before, she said, Baba, I'm not going to do Amrit Vela unless you produce some rain. Now, this is right. I would never even imagine making my Amrit Vela conditional. But that's that kind of relationship. I'm not going to get up for Amrit Vela unless you do some rain. And what do you think? Did it rain? It rained. I mean, we've got to believe who has come into our life. And if you've loved God before Brahma Kumaris and you've been together with God, I still say, at the confluence age, He's in our life in a completely new way. All the stories, they're about how He is in my life now. So, call on Him. Rights. Make a deal. Make contracts. I wouldn't suggest making Amrit Vela conditional. But contracts help. Just recently I made a little contract with Him because there was one thing that was bothering me. And I was not able to get rid of it. All the knowledge, all the gyan, all the yoga was there. But it wasn't clearing. So I put in my demand. I said, you know, that's it. What's going on here? I've got work to do. We've got a whole world we have to purify. Today's Merle, you know. I make the world new. So you got to get rid of this. This is that detachment, the detached observer, even on my own stage. You've got to get rid of this. And I had some beautiful experiences and next day, gone. The whole thing was gone. Of course, gyan and our efforts in gyan, study, yoga are there because you have to sustain the magic. You have to sustain the magic. But it's a great start. Okay. There's a little couple of other things I'd like to share about this whole topic, facing and merging, because merging just means this. My companion. Make him the companion. The stick I use to walk, because otherwise I'd be too weak. My one and only support. This is actually what every challenging situation is for. To remove from me any notion or thought still remaining that there's anything else that can help me, anything else that can support me, anything else that can give me what I need to really progress for my life. Every challenge would be to require me to turn towards Him more. Merge, combined, companion. So I'll just share one last thing. I think we go till 12:30, is that right? Okay, so there's a little exercise I thought we would do. But before that, I'll just share one more thing. You know the biggest enemy to this? the biggest enemy to facing, because it does require a lot of honesty to take responsibility for every challenging moment, go within like that. And it does take a lot of faith to first work with that connecting. Don't do anything until you've got that connection. So, honesty, faith, that's going to allow me to face everything. Keep moving forward. Blossom like a flower. What is the biggest enemy to this? I would say, very practically speaking, on a very practical level, what's the thing which is going to slow down this learning curve, this process, more than anything? Yeah. Doubt. Can you talk about that a bit? What do you mean by doubt? Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. So, that's right. Doubt, brother was saying, it opens like a hole. Mice run out. So, questions. Doubts create questions which just empty us of whatever power we would have accumulated. And then what are we bringing to the situation to be able to face it? So doubts, yes. And I'm speaking about something very practical, because it's because of things like doubts that we end up doing this one thing. And this one thing we do is really the biggest enemy to this whole process. Because I would call this the godly way of facing everything. The worldly way of facing is, you know, violence. And nobody really benefits or progresses. The godly way is different. It's benefit for all and elevating all. So, practically speaking, what's the one thing we do which really slows down the godly process, if not stops it completely? When your mind is not clear, that's because of doubts, questions, etc. But this is something we do. Practical. We do it. Carelessness. Not following Srimad. I'm thinking of something very practical and specific. Laziness, like he spoke about today. Laziness. Laziness is the sixth vice. Yes. Fear. Fear is another big one. Big, big topic. Yeah. That's connected to doubts and all of that. But this is something we do physically. Physically do. Amrit Vela, we stop coming to Amrit Vela. We run away. Okay. I'll share it with you. We turn to a human for support. We turn to a human being for advice or for opinions, perspectives. Now, going to a senior is something else. For guidance, that's what they're there for. But to turn to, you know, friends. Be very careful. What is friendship in the world of the confluence age? We have to be so careful about this. Because it's very deceptive. Talk about facing the falsenesses within me. This friendship business is one of the biggest falsenesses in our gathering, if you want my opinion. Because you think you're getting support. But if, as I was saying before, experience shows and Gyan tells us that my only support is the love, the power, the energy inside the love I'm going to get from God. Because the only real falseness and impurity is my disconnect. Then, do I think I'm going to get that from another human? I'm going to get anything and everything but that. And anything and everything but that is going to be a lot easier than going to God. So the whole process, the godly process of facing and merging, will be delayed. I'll be comforted. They listened to me. They agreed with me. They took my side. They gave more reasons. I have my list and they added to it. And so we just get weaker. Friendships for sharing good things. Yeah, that's right. That's what friendships are for. In the golden age, that's all we do. We share good things. And that's what we want to do here. We want friends for that, but not for support. This is to deceive myself. It's to sustain the impurities. Okay? So I suggest that we take a few minutes just to reflect on all of this. And then maybe there's some questions, or maybe somebody would like to add something. Okay? A few minutes of just some silence to reflect. And then we'll unpack it according to your own journeys. Think over what you've been hearing. How does it fit into your own journey? Yes, would anybody like to say anything or ask anything? We have a microphone here. Yes. Om Shanti, would you like to come and take the microphone? We're a small enough group. It's a good chance to meet each other. Yeah, it's right there. Here, it's here.
Om Shanti, I really enjoyed your sharing.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Carol Ann and I'm from Glasgow in Scotland. And I thought it was lovely what you shared about Daddy when you went to her, because I thought that was a really good example of how she pointed you in the direction of God for the solution. And I loved what you were saying about magic. And I was thinking that quite often at the moment I'm facing something and it seems huge, but I'm working with it and I use Baba's Yuktis and reducing things to cotton wool and all these things, but still I want to, it's like my thing at the moment, it's my big challenge. And I just as you were sharing, I was thinking, it's interesting how Baba works with us in a very subtle way, that he is combined with us and we experience that in very subtle and it can seem very sort of practical ways in our life. And something, when I was getting organized to come to Madhaban, this is just a couple of little examples. I was packing my suitcases and I went to sit with Baba and he said, "You haven't got a big enough suitcase. You'll have to get a bigger suitcase." And I thought, oh, 2 days before I was leaving. And then also, not only that, but also where to go and get one, because finances, buying another big suitcase. And but I was directed to the right shop, and I got a suitcase that was very, very cheap. It was reduced. It was a really good suitcase. And I was just thinking about that and my challenge at the moment, or the thing that I'm facing. And, you know, this thing about being combined with God, and really, really to sort of accept that, because it happens. He is combined with us and He is working with us all the time. And so that closeness is there.
Yeah.
Om Shanti.
There's a very nice poster. I don't know if you saw it near Global Office, of the theme of this year, meetings from Om to Om Shanti. It shows a nice path and the different steps. And the first one, I think, or the second step is experimenting, exploring. This is what we have to do. Experiment with this relationship. And here I'm also reminded of a tip. It's not like I'm going to take a title of Baba's and just repeat it. This is bhakti. You are the remover of sorrow and bestower of happiness. It's not like I'm just going to say it and say it and say it and say it. I have to own it. I have to believe it 100%. And I have to call Him on it. Claim it as a right. You say you're the remover of sorrow, so remove this sorrow. You say you're the bestower of happiness. I want that happiness right now. Like, I can't tell you how many experiences you can have with Baba. Although first, you do have to come into the wavelength. You have to, you know, make that connection. You have to be a soul talking to the Supreme Soul, not Sharona talking to the Supreme. This is, of course, essential understanding. The difference between prayer and the difference between everything we did with God before is that now we're doing it soul to soul. This is very important. But I'll come into soul consciousness and then I'll, you know, claim my rights on Him, call Him on it. Many, many stories. One of my favorite points, which I have often said with that right, a lot of times it seems like this, in this lifetime I pay my karmic accounts through the body a lot. And there would be like a lecture or some service and then the body wouldn't be well. And I can remember this favorite point from the Murli, which I would have used thousands of times and never did it not work. This point, Baba once told us. He said, children, if ever you're having any problem, just remember this. Say this to yourself. However I am, whatever I am, wherever I am, you have said, Baba, you have said that if I call you, you will become present in front of me. So, Baba, I'm calling you. Wonderful results. Another one. Sometimes you can't get out of bed in the morning. You just can't get out of bed in the morning. Just lie there and say, I move on the basis of your love. I move on the basis of your love. And just see what happens. Magic. But, you know, anyone else? Anything else? Because sometimes there's this question too, how to connect, how to come into that wavelength, really, I'm there, and then all these other things can happen. Then I can experience the magic, because the magic's happening 24/7, but am I plugged into it? Am I catching it? So would you like a little drill which definitely sets up the connection in an entertaining way? Would you like that? Yeah? Okay, so for that I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer. preferably somebody who speaks English comfortably. Yes, we have a volunteer. Come. And can you bring that chair over here and take the mic as well? There's a loose chair there. You can bring it here. Yeah, English is okay?
No.
No, I need somebody with good English. No, no, I need someone with good English. Sorry, sorry. Next workshop. Actually, I do, but not others. Okay, here we go. Take the microphone. Okay, remind me of your name. Brother, remind me of your name.
Alex.
Alex, yes. Okay. So, this is something we're all going to do. I'm going to just tell you what we're going to do, and then I'll explain it a bit. But basically, connecting with Baba involves three important energies. The energy of thought, the energy of image, and the energy of feelings. These are very important energies. All three have to be activated in order to make a connection which is real. And you feel it. Connection means experience. Okay? So the way this works is I'm going to give Alex a thought. And all you have to do, Alex, is think it. And then I'm going to give an image, and all you have to do is see it. And then I'm going to ask you, Alex, how are you feeling? And here all you have to do is be honest about how you're feeling. It might not be connected at all to the thought or the image, but you're connecting to your feeling, and that's important. So you might be feeling disconnected or bored or totally distracted. Whatever, just be honest. And then we start again. Thought, image, what are you feeling? Okay? And so the only thing you have to say is the last one, what are you feeling? And that has to be just one word. Okay? Let's start. And you can do this also with yourself. All right. Here's the thought. I am tinier than a poppy seed. And yet I'm full of light. How are you feeling? One word.
Full.
We continue. I am tinier than a poppy seed. And yet, I'm full of light. And I'm feeling...
still full.
We continue. I am tinier than a poppy seed. And yet, I'm very powerful. And just by having this thought, windows open in the soul, and my light begins to pour out in all directions. And I'm feeling
powerful.
We continue. I am tinier than a poppy seed. But I'm so powerful. just by having these thoughts, windows open in the soul and light pours out from me in all directions. And I'm feeling
like we're open effectra.
We continue. I am tinier than a poppy seed. 84 births are recorded in such a tiny me. And just by having these thoughts, windows open in the soul, and my light begins to spread everywhere. And I'm feeling
full.
Again. You're feeling
full.
I am tinier than a poppy seed. Four births are recorded in me. I'm the one moving through time and space unstoppably forever. And just by having these thoughts, windows open in the soul, and my light begins to spread outwards everywhere. And I'm feeling
unlimited.
I am tinier than a poppy seed. Every breath, every thought, every word I've ever had over 5,000 years is recorded in me. I'm the one moving through time and space, imperishably, forever. And just by having these thoughts, portals open in the soul, and my light shines outwards in all directions. And I'm feeling
eternal.
Okay. Thank you. We can thank our... Don't go away yet, Alex. What was your experience of this exercise?
Your words sometimes influence my visions, and it was very natural, so overall good experience.
the experience you had in your first round compared to the experience you had in the last round, what is the comparison?
So in the end I was very more soul conscious,
yeah,
and very more feeling very more eternal.
Yeah. How many also had this experience? You entered an experience more. How many had that experience? Some of you. If this exercise doesn't work, I would say it's you're not being honest enough about your feeling. Thanks, Alex. Because essentially, all we're doing is telling ourselves simple things, and you can repeat the same things again and again, but we're releasing three very important energies. If they're not released, they're blocked. And then I can't focus, I can't concentrate, I can't get onto that wavelength and enjoy Baba. All three. Thought, visual, and feeling. And usually, we're stuck on feelings. We're very disconnected often from our feelings. We're bored or angry about our own feelings often. And through habit, we're just not connected. This, you know, actually, when I usually do this exercise, I ask for a volunteer. I usually do it at the beginning of a class, not at the end. I ask for somebody who's really having trouble meditating these days. Mind can't focus. Or somebody who's really upset and can't focus because of the emotions. This exercise, it was less than 5 minutes. It was like 3 minutes. Without fail, if you do it, honestly, it will focus you. Put you completely onto that wavelength. Because otherwise, these energies of feelings, especially if they're emotional and negative, if we don't acknowledge them, it's like a pressure cooker, you know? Pressure cooker. And just by saying angry, or suppressed, or frustrated, whatever, releases it. And it evaporates. And then what's true and original and natural is there, energy-wise. All you have to do is repeat it. Thought, image, and keep it very simple. Very, very simple. Simplest thought two or three times, you can add to it a little bit, but you come into the experience after maybe the fourth or fifth round. Anytime you're in a meditation and you get distracted, this will pull you back. Or anytime you sit down to meditation and you can't focus, try this. Okay? Very nice, very nice. Very glad to see you. I wish I could know everyone's name and where you're from and like that. So again, if you see me on the street, stop me, say hello. It's always very nice to be together like this to meet. We take a last minute. I don't know, do we have a song or something? I don't know if anyone's up there. But last few minutes of silence anyway to finish up. Oh, by the way, I just forgot to add that this is a drill. It's not yoga or meditation. It's a drill to get you into yoga or meditation. But if you, when you come into concentration and focus, then especially at the feeling point, you'll find Baba very easily and you can come into yoga very naturally.